104.3 Jam, Chicago's number one for throwbacks. Me and Jen BT here for the Ed Lover Morning Show. Join us. Sinbad is here.
Woo!
Yo, in the house.
Yeah,
in the house.
You know what? It's so cool to see old friends that you haven't seen in a long time. And it's good to see you, Bad. It really is, man.
It's good to be seen. Good not to be dead.
That's right.
You know, not me. I've been dead. Well, how many times I've been dead? How many times? I mean, I don't know how many times I go somewhere. Man, I thought you was dead.
Really?
Oh. Serious, man.
Have you been dead on the internet?
Oh, I was one of the first celebrities to die. I was one of the first ones. They killed me twice.
A lot of people don't know, and I know Sinbad
See?
Pig Meat Markham was one of the earliest rap records.
Thank you.
That I've ever heard.
Here come the judge.
What
year was that, you think?
Oh, man, I was a kid, so I don't. I remember.
I was in the 60s, but it might have been early 60s, even late 50s. No, 60s.
Yeah, it had to be the 60s.
Incredible.
Yeah, I actually, because my parents had the record in the house and used to play it all the time, I actually know the record.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here he, the quarter swing.
Yeah.
I'm just about ready to do my thing. I don't want no tears, I don't want no lies. Also, I don't want no alibis. This judge is hip, and that ain't all. He'll give you time, whether you're big or small. Falling like this court is deep. Peace, brother. Here come the judge. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember Sinbad?
You made me rap. You know, dude, he was, Cats was rap. Look, remember, we were always, our people were always musical. We're wordsmiths. We're always been.
Always have.
From Rudy Ray Moore to the signifying monkey.
Yes.
So that was, James Brown was doing it. So when rap came around, people said, what is the, first time I heard rap, I'm in the military. And this dude, put your foot on the rock, pat your foot, don't stop. I said, put the record on, man. And his brother, man, it's just rap, man, from New York. But then he got me. The second time I heard him, I said, show me some of that. And it was just this, I fell in love with it, and it was in music. But when I first came to Boston, I'm in the record store, I'm going to get Run DMC. And it was the beginning of white kids buying rap. And all these white kids were in the store, I couldn't get the CD. They said, well, the white kids bought it. I said, what do you mean they bought it? They said, man, I said, oh, man, they're going to be white rappers now.
And this, okay, here
this,
we
this
go.
This is 1983, 84. I said, this is going to be white rappers, and they're going to come smarter than us. And everybody said, what are you talking about? I said, watch what happens. They love this. They don't know what it is. Because they like the gangster side of it. They like the street side of it. They like the grit of it. And most of them weren't gritty. But that's what they liked about it. And I said, next thing I knew, when Fight for Your Right to Party, when they came out, Beastie Boys came out.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they said they were smart. They were the number one rap selling group. I said, told y'all.
Yeah, License to Ill came out. It was amazing.
See, we never minded people taking our stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it's the way they would build them up like it was more than us. That bothered me.
Mm.
Early in your career, when you was doing a lot of HBO specials and stuff like that, you took a lot of flack for being clean.
Yeah.
A lot of flack for being.
Well, actually, I heard my career. I was dirty when I started.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was dirty when I started. And I cleaned up one night. My dad was a preacher, came to show. But my dad still would have come. I cleaned it up. And this woman said, oh, good. I can go see comedy. And I felt like, what? Like, this is going to be my job? To be the clean comic? I said, okay, man, I'll be clean, but I'm going to be as funky, I'm going to be as hard-hitting as I can be. They're not going to pick up, I'm not cussing. So nobody picked up, I was not cussing at first. It was Hollywood. I got to Hollywood, they go, okay, what kind of Negro is he? What box we put him in? He's clean? Okay, he's the anti-Negro. He's the all-American. I said, oh, y'all picked the wrong brother. And then they were getting meetings with me, go like, I mean, he's kind of crazy, militant. So now it almost hurt my career because I didn't fit what they wanted, and then because I was clean, they thought I wasn't controversial, and then they would meet me and go like, oh, he's too controversial. I said, dude, you almost put myself in this strange box. Sometimes I wish I had never been clean.
Oh, wow.
That way people could have got over me cursing, couldn't they hear me curse? I know you curse. I said, oh, like that's deep? Like a curse word is deep? Like they made me deep, now I'm more real? Now I can join the group, I can join the club.
Wow. Right. So what's your comedy like now? Because you're going to be doing comedy tomorrow, Saturday, at the Chicago Theater, which is amazing. What can we expect from your comedy?
I still talk. I don't care about politically correct. I still talk about everything. If you can talk about it in a room, if we can sit and talk about it here, why can't you talk about it on stage? Why else on stage, you can't talk about things. You can't talk about gay. Can't talk about black. Can't talk about police brutality. We're talking about it everywhere. I'm going to talk about it on stage. It's just the way I do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to put you down, but I'm going to give you some truth. I always tell people, am I lying? If I'm lying, I'll stop. If you show me I'm lying, I will apologize and I will stop. But if I'm not lying, I'm going to talk about it.
Sinbad in the building with us. See, I love him on the show. 104.3 Jams. Thank you, my brother.
I don't mean
Thank you.
Sinbad.
It's a pleasure meeting you.
Yes.
It's a pleasure meeting you, too.